Hey there, Orioles fans. Today is Thursday, May 26th, 2022, and welcome back in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb, and coming up on today's episode, we start by recapping an Orioles loss. They come up just short of taking the series from the Yankees and fall 2-0 in the Bronx in the final of a three-game set on Wednesday night. I'll get you the five things you need to know from an Orioles loss in which the offense just went silent against New York. Then, we'll finally take a closer look at the AA Bowie Bay Sox this year. I've gone through every other full-season minor league team in the system. Today, we learn about the Bay Sox, and Matt Sabados, the new play-by-play voice of the Bowie Bay Sox, joins the pod to talk about some hitters who have stood out in the lineup, like guys like Jordan Westberg, some pitchers who have thrown the ball well, like Drew Rahm, and we'll get into some lesser-known guys and talk a little bit about Matt's broadcasting career so far and what brought him to Bowie. But that's all coming up on this episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast.
You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So we start today with an Orioles loss. They fall 2-0 to the New York Yankees on Wednesday night. And this episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. And before we get started, just want to thank you for making Locked On Orioles your first podcast listen of the day. Of course, first and foremost, we are here on all your audio platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen, Monday through Friday, new episodes 5 days a week. If you could leave a rating and a review on any of those apps, it helps a lot. But we're also right here on YouTube. Make sure to like, comment, subscribe to the Locked On Orioles YouTube page. Thanks to everyone who has subscribed so far. As of Wednesday, we are up above 400 subscribers on the YouTube page. Next up, let's try to get to 500. So, you know, come over and just click that red subscribe button. It really helps out a lot. But again, just want to thank you for making Locked On Orioles your first listen of the day. And for your first listen today, we start with Orioles and Yankees. Game three of a three-game set. Orioles fall 2-0 in New York and drop 2 out of 3 in the series against the Bronx Bombers. A series that started so well for the Orioles with the big win on Monday night, came up just short, the devastating walk-off loss in the 11th on Tuesday. And then the offense just didn't get it going in a 2-0 loss on Wednesday. Orioles leave New York with an 18-27 record on the season. And I'm going to get you the five things you need to know from this Orioles loss. And the first thing you need to know is that, well, this may have been, maybe, the Orioles' worst offensive game of the year. They were shut out for just the third time all season. The only two other shutouts were back on May 14th. They lost 3-0 on the road in Detroit. And then all the way back to the opening series of the season, they lost a game 8-0 in the third game of the year in Tampa Bay back on April 10th. So it's been a while now. They did get 5 hits. The season low is 4. They've done that a few times, so at least they got 5 hits. But only 4 hard hit balls on the night, one of their lowest total. I believe that is their lowest total of the year. Only 4 balls hit off the bat, 95 miles per hour or more. And just really, they couldn't get anything going. And again, they've been shut out a couple times. They've scored 1 run a couple times. They've had some bad showings early in the year. I mean, they went 0 for 8 with runners in scoring position on Wednesday night. They've done worse than that, especially early in April. But I think the reason why I'm going to call this one the worst offensive performance of the year is because who it came against for the Yankees. This was not Gerrit Cole. This was not Jordan Montgomery or Luis Severino. This was J.P. Sears, a lefty making his first major league start, who threw 5 scoreless. This was Ron Marinaccio, the kind of basically 4A reliever who threw 2 perfect innings. This was Lucas Lettke, who the Orioles walked off on last Thursday, who got a couple of outs. Now, they did finish with Miguel Castro, and then Clay Holmes got the save, who's been unhittable. But against Sears and Marinaccio for 7 innings, you got to score on those guys. And the Orioles just did not do that on Wednesday night. But the second thing that you need to know is that despite the bad performance across the board, by far easily the best hitter in the lineup from what he did Wednesday night was Adley Rutschman. Batted sixth for the Orioles and caught this one and had his first career multi-hit game. 2-for-4 with a couple of singles on the day. Did not strike out, did not walk either, but he came up with a really, really impressive at-bat in the second inning, a 10-pitch AB that ended with a single from the right side against Yankee starter J.P. Sears. And then flash forward to the ninth inning, facing probably the best reliever in baseball so far this year in Clay Holmes. And Adley goes after a first-pitch sinker and just grounds it up the middle for a base hit. That one in the ninth inning, 102 miles per hour off the bat, the hardest hit ball of Rutschman's major league career to date. So definitely a good day for Adley, who saw 19 pitches in his four at-bats. And he is averaging just shy of 6 pitches per plate appearance on the year. If you extrapolate that, obviously Adley has, you know, only been up since Saturday, but there is no major leaguer this year averaging as many pitches per plate appearance as Adley Rutschman. Again, he's just shy of 6 at the moment. His plate discipline, which we've known about throughout the minors, has translated immediately to the major leagues. And while, you know, he's hitting 250 so far, he had a 2-hit game. He's only got the 1 extra base hit, hasn't homered yet. He's catching well defensively, he's framing well, and he's taking pitches, seeing the strike zone very, very well. That's been really impressive, and he had a really impressive night. On a night when really no one else in the Oriole lineup impressed, Adley was kind of the one guy who did it on Wednesday. Third thing you need to know from this one is that it was another just ho-hum, solid start. Keep racking him up for Tyler Wells, who again, you know, we know is not going to go more than 5 innings many times this year, but he pitched those 5 innings once again on Wednesday night. 5 innings, 2 runs allowed on 5 hits. He struck out 2. He did not walk anyone, no long balls. 77 pitches on the night for Wells, who allowed 7 hard hit balls in the game and now has a 4.30 ERA on the season. And, you know, the only 2 runs, they came in the 4th inning from the Yankees. They ended up being the only 2 runs of the game. Wells had allowed just 1 hit through 3 innings, but came out in the 4th, gave up a couple of singles, hung a 2-2 breaking ball to Miguel Andujar, who lined one into left field for an RBI single to make it 1-0, and then Andujar took off for 2nd, and Adley made not a terrible throw, but not a good throw down to 2nd base. It went into center field, allowed that 2nd run to score. Because of what transpired later in the inning with the ball getting put in play, it still ended up being an earned run to Tyler Wells, but that was it. He came back out through a nice 5th inning, and yeah, the strikeout stuff was not there for Wells like it has been at times this year, just the 2 strikeouts, but he continues to do this thing which he's done a couple of times this year, which is get a good amount of whiffs without getting strikeouts. He had 11 whiffs on 77 pitches, 11 whiffs on 47 swings. Not a bad number at all. But to just get the 2 strikeouts, he's not getting his 2-strike whiffs. He's getting whiffs early in the count, just not throwing those good put-away pitches to get the strikeouts. But it was an interesting day for Wells, who, for the first time this season, threw more sliders than fastballs. It was 28 sliders, 25 fastballs, 22 changeups, and then he tossed in 2 curveballs to make his 77 pitches. Really interesting, essentially a 3-pitch, almost even split between the slider, fastball, and changeup. Fastball was good, got 3 whiffs. Slider was great, got 6 whiffs on the day on 23 swings. They put that ball in play a lot. His fastball velo was a little bit up today, averaging 94, touched 96. Again, I liked what I saw, and the best part of Tyler Wells, once again, no walks in this game. That is now 6 of his last 7 starts. Tyler Wells has not walked a batter. Again, he has not walked a batter in 6 of his last 7 starts. Really impressive from the Orioles' new starting pitcher. And the 4th thing you need to know continues with the pitching is that the bullpen just came in and did its job and kept this at a 2-0 game. The offense just never helped him out. I mean, the Oriole bullpen throws 3 scoreless innings. You have Joey Crable, a 1-2-3-6th with a strikeout. Logan Gillespie with a nice bounce back a scoreless 7th after he surrendered the lead in the 7th on Tuesday night. And then how about Marcos Duplan? He was the most impressive reliever for the Orioles tonight. Remember, the Orioles recalled Duplan on Monday when they needed the extra pitching. Didn't use him in the first 2 games, but he made just his 2nd appearance of the year in the big leagues, first since April 18th. And that was the most electric I have ever seen Marcos Duplan stuff look. He threw 16 pitches, got a 1-2-3 inning with 2 strikeouts against the top of the Yankee order. It was 6 curveballs, 5 changeups, and 5 fastballs, which was interesting. Fastball was 94 to 95. That was a little harder than we saw him throw last year. The curveball is shaped differently. He's throwing it much harder as well. Got 2 whiffs on that pitch. Impressive inning from Marcos Duplan. And the fifth and final thing you need to know from the Orioles' 2-0 loss to the Yankees on Wednesday night is that I know the Orioles lost 2 of 3 in this series, and it was especially heartbreaking the way they lost Tuesday, and it was frustrating the way they lost Wednesday. Felt like a game they should have won. But I see this series, my final takeaway from this game and from the series, this series was a net positive for the Baltimore Orioles. Yes, they lost 2 of 3, but they came out there on Monday night and got the big hits late in the game and came away with the victory on Monday. And then they got the big hits late on Tuesday, took that late lead, gave it up, took the lead again in extras, and they lost that game because they had a tired bullpen. If they would have had Felix Bautista and Jorge Lopez available on Tuesday night, I firmly believe the Orioles would have won that game too. Now, the bullpen being available didn't really factor into Wednesday night. Offense just had a night off, basically. But I take away a lot of positives from this series. I think the Orioles should feel really, really good taking a series from the Rays, playing really well against the Yankees, heading into this 5-game set against the Red Sox after the off day coming up this weekend. But the Orioles fall 2-0 on the road and drop 2 out of 3 in the series with the Yankees. But of course, as we continue to cover this Major League team playing better than we thought it would, we also continue to cover the minor league teams. And today, we're finally going to take a full look at the AA Bowie Bay Sox as Matt Sabatos is going to join us here on the podcast. He is the new play-by-play voice of the Orioles AA affiliate, and he's going to join us to talk about guys like Drew Rahm and Jordan Westberg and others on this Bay Sox team. And we'll talk a little bit about Matt's career and what got him to Bowie as well. But first, let's talk about rockauto.com, which is the best place to go for all your auto parts needs. Because with all the makes and models of every car out there, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. So why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing only the brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. You save time and you save money when using Rock Auto. So why choose to spend 50, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store? Just go to rockauto.com. They're a family business for over 20 years, and the prices are reliably low for every customer, even a customer like me who knows nothing about cars but needs some parts from time to time. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And write Locked On Orioles in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. So the Orioles are certainly playing a little better baseball at the major league level, but a lot of talent coming up as well at the minor league level. And we did a lot of our minor league previews a couple of weeks ago, but now we get to finish that off with the AA Bowie Bay Sox. A whole lot of talent at that AA level. And we've got the new voice of the Bowie Bay Sox, or maybe not new to people who have been listening all season, but at least new to the podcast, in Matt Sabatos, who joins us here on the pod. Matt, first of all, thank you so much for taking some time to jump on the pod.
Yeah, absolutely, Connor. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, and so we have you on to talk Bowie Bay Sox, which, you know, in terms of wins and losses, it hasn't been, at least so far, the season that Bowie put together last year and in 2019. But in terms of talent, obviously, there is a lot of it on this roster. Now, my early disclaimer here is we're not really going to touch on Gunnar Henderson because we had John Mioli on the podcast last week. If anyone wants to hear a lot about Gunnar and his success this year, go listen to last week's episode with John Mioli of Maximizing Playoff Odds. But Matt, let's start with another one of the top infield prospects, and that is Jordan Westberg, who I know had a kind of a slow start to the season. He started to pick things up a little bit. What have you seen from him? Why the slow start? And how has he looked when he's been hitting better at times this season?
So, yeah, there was about a 2-week stretch where he was hitting about 100 for a spell, and that's just tough to handle no matter who you are. You're watching it or in the middle of it. So it was something that personally I'm not even really sure what I could have pinpointed on it. I think it was just some of the pitchers in this league, and there's a lot of great pitching talent in this AA Eastern League. Lately, though, there's not been I'm not specifically too positive, and I've tried to find the answer when it comes to speaking with Jordan or speaking with the coaching staff. It's like, is there anything that's been changing with him? Is there any different approach that you guys have been taking with him in the cage or with him at the plate when it comes time for the game? And no one's really been able to piece together a sizable answer. It's just been he's a very results driven kind of guy, and he's not too methodical in his approach, but he's got kind of the same attack that he's always been going at. He hasn't really changed much of anything. It's just starting to click for him again. And the best thing I can say is maybe it was just those start of season, you know, ramp ups and just dealing with the cold weather early on. Now that it's started to warm up a little bit, he's been feeling better. He's been swinging better and really been making a lot more barrels. I think that's one of the more important things. One of the only things that I think really kind of kickstarted him, there was a brief stint about 2 weeks ago at this point when Bowie was in Reading facing off against the Phillies affiliate. Westberg was shifted down in the lineup a couple of slots. For the first time all season, he was batting fifth. And for three games, he was hitting fifth. And that was the turning point. He just got those couple of extra at-bats in the dugout to watch the pitcher work and those couple of extra at-bats to speak with his teammates after their late appearances to get an understanding of what the actual game time scenario is, because that can differ from the pregame schedule. And since then, he's been back into his rhythm. So I'm not sure if that was the point that I followed along, that he really turned it around. And now that he's back, I'm just really happy to see it, because the more that all these guys are firing, the better Bowie is going to do. And unfortunately, it just means that they'll be up at AAA at some point in their careers if they keep playing at such a high level with us. But that's just the way minor league baseball is. So I'm just really glad that Jordan has picked it back up and is doing what he's expected to do at this level, and hopefully continues to do so.
Yeah, and you know, he was an advanced hitter as soon as he was drafted in 2020. He was an advanced hitter at Mississippi State, and he's a guy who, you know, is able to figure out, you know, kind of what is going into his slumps and how to get out of them. So it's good to see him, as you said, picking it up a bit. And I'm sure if he continues to pick it up, he's got a good chance to, as you said, be at AAA this year. Another guy who, you know, I know because of some injury issues and different things, which Bowie, I know, has been riddled with at times this year, but yeah. Adam Hall has definitely stepped up so far this year. And another thing about Adam Hall is he's played a lot of outfield, and he's going to have to play more outfield because Cesar Prieto is in AA. There's just too many good infielders. And so I just wanted to get your thoughts on kind of, first of all, Hall in the outfield defensively, and then what his bat has looked like, because the bat has kind of dragged behind over the last couple of years.
Yeah, there's not really anything that's stood out to me in terms of his outfield work. Obviously, the 2 weeks off hurt and did a lot of our potential look at what he's capable of, because he has only played in 18 games so far this season because of the injuries. So I've not seen anything that's blown me away, but I've also not seen anything that's made me say, well, he can't be a serviceable outfielder. He's you know, answered the call that's been given to him and done his job. In terms of the work at the plate, I really putting together a relatively good season. He's hitting .361 here at home, and that leadoff spot, that's just perfect for him. He batted sixth on opening day, and since then he's been leading off in the games that he's been active for, and he really hits the ball well. If he's the first batter in an inning, he's got a .948 OPS. Like, that's a pretty good number to roll with from a leadoff guy, because that means he's getting on base and sometimes hitting for a little bit of power. While the power numbers are reasonable for Hall, it's more so on just the walks and the actual base hits, the relative singles for him. So he's definitely had to deal with it when it comes to missing the 2 weeks. That's a significant time loss that you've got to build yourself and ramp back up into the full day-to-day routine of playing ball. But he's another one of those guys that just goes out and does his job. He doesn't overthink stuff. He just, you know, continues to work and work to the best of his ability. So if this trend continues for him, especially in the lead slot, I can't imagine that it'd be a difficult decision. Maybe get that next opportunity at the next level to see what he could maybe produce against AAA pitching. When that is, no clue. Couldn't even venture a guess. But I've really been impressed with, you know, the types of work that he's been put in, the situations he's been put in, and the work he's produced in those unique situations.
And as we stay with hitters, you know, there's a lot of other top prospects I could ask you about. But instead, yeah, I want to ask you about the guy who is certainly not a top prospect, but has maybe been Bowie's best hitter over the past couple of weeks. And that's Shane Fontana, who is making his name known in this Bay Sox lineup. You know, what has that breakout been like, looked like for him? And you know, how are, you know, if you've gotten a chance to chat with them, like, how are the coaches talking about Fontana? Because he went from outfield depth to he's kind of in the middle of this order now.
Yeah, so he started the season, I think it was 0-for-12, and he was alternating days in and days off on the bench. And there was, I think it was since mid-April, he'd been batting around 330, 340, something along those lines. And he's not the kind of guy that can really pinpoint it himself either. And if he can, it's not something that can be well articulated. So I've not to get a concise answer out of Fontana, and fortunately, it's just fun to talk about it. I think one of the things that he's really picked up is the trademark plate discipline that Bowie and the Orioles system as a whole have really been just hammering home, is that he's drawn out plate appearances a lot longer, making sure he's waiting for the best possible pitch that he can see in that plate appearance. And Bowie is one of the best teams in the league in that regard. They've played two fewer games than most other teams in the league just because of some postponements and some rainouts. And they have seen more pitches than any other team in the league. That's just how long they sit around in their plate appearances watching balls outside of the zone, because they're not going to chase at something that they know that they would only hit weakly, and they'll foul off pitches that'll be borderline. They really have one of the best understandings of the zone in the entire league, and Fontana is just the latest in that group to really pick it up and run with it and use it to get the best possible pitch to hit for a single, a double, and lately a home run a couple of points. So I'm really glad to see him step up. Unfortunately, though, he did actually just go on the injured list recently, and I'm not sure how long this stint is going to be. Hopefully it's not too long, but it might be at least a little bit. It's going to be at least 7 days before we see him, just because of the minimum there. So hopefully he'll be back soon and back healthy.
Yeah, hopefully he can get back in that lineup, because he's starting to look like, you know, last year in Bowie, it was Pat Dorian, who was kind of a depth prospect that turned into, you know, one of their best hitters. Looks like, at least so far, it's Fontana doing that this year. We'll be back in just a second with Matt Sabados of the Bowie Bay Sox, talking about some arms who have impressed and some big names in the Orioles AA affiliate. But first, got to tell you about LinkedIn Talent Solutions, because with spring in the air, it's a time of renewal and growth, personally and professionally. And as your small business grows, LinkedIn Jobs is here to make it easier to find the people you want to talk to faster and for free. You can create a job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. They've got simple tools like screening questions that make it easier to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience, so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and who you'd like to hire. So LinkedIn Jobs, it helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? So you can post your job for free if you go to linkedin.com/lockedonMLB. That's linkedin.com/lockedonMLB to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. So we're here with the voice of the Bowie Bay Sox, Matt Sabados, talking about some hitters first. Now let's move over to some pitchers. And the guy I want to ask you about first is actually the guy who took the bump on Tuesday night. Actually, last night as we record this here on Wednesday morning. And that, of course, is Antonio Velez, who came over in the early season trade with the Marlins when the Orioles sent Cole Sulcer and Tanner Scott over to Miami. And Velez has had a really interesting year, because 31 innings, 36 strikeouts, and 8 walks. You're saying, that's pretty good. But an ERA close to 8, not so much. The question becomes, what is kind of the break-off? What is not completely clicking where he's missing bats at times, but when they hit him, it seems like he's getting hit hard?
So I'm not as positive as to how the Marlins may have tried to develop him as a pitcher. And the best I can say is that I know him personally. He's described himself as a ground ball kind of guy, and he's worked that that tenet well at a couple of points this season. There was one start against Akron, the Guardians affiliate. I think it was late April, where he had thrown 5 innings on just 35 pitches. And to do that with that ground ball kind of stuff is so helpful for a bullpen that can get depleted at points, especially with the injuries that Bowie has had to deal with. But I know that the way that some organizations may develop pitchers these days is that they focus a lot on the high strikeouts. And obviously the high strikeout numbers, the high strikeout to walk ratio for Velez is very, very impressive, just as you said. So I feel like this is just my complete opinion based on the numbers and based on the fact that he is a trader, is that maybe he's trying to make that transition into organization as more of a strikeout arm and less of a contact straight up ground ball pitcher. And it's leading to just a little bit of that mix where sometimes he gives up that hard contact when trying to miss a barrel here or there. And it can be tough along with sometimes, but he's a very straightforward kind of guy when it comes to, you know, his aggression on the mound. He really wants to succeed, and you can tell it. So I'm really pulling for him to turn the corner soon, because he's a likable guy that you want to see succeed, especially when he's a traded piece like that. The Orioles have invested an amount of capital in bringing him into the organization for that exact purpose after making that trade. So I really want him to succeed a little bit better. And I really think it will happen soon, because I know it can't be easy joining an organization that close to opening day, because he was acquired by Baltimore on April 4th, reported here to Bowie on April 6th, and then pitched his first game in the organization on April 10th. So he's really just not had a lot of time to acclimate himself and really settle in and maybe study a lot of the material outright. So now that the months are starting to turn over, I really think that he should be able to settle back in soon and you know, make that good, maybe Ryan, of good strikeout numbers to getting a ground ball when he needs to get out of maybe a jam here or there, because the home runs have really been what's hurt him the most. So if he can kind of transition that into just missing the barrels a little more often, he'll be an incredible starter if he can just make that slight little turn to turn some of those home runs into more of the strikeouts.
Yeah, and it's a good thing that he's not struggling with the walks. So that's not something he needs to really address. It's more about just that hard contact. But from one lefty to another, obviously we got to talk about currently the top pitching prospect that is on this Bowie roster, and that is Drew Rahm, who I know returns on Wednesday night to make the start. So you've gotten to see 5 starts out of Drew now, who is just kind of shooting up prospect rankings at this point. You know, what in your eyes, you know, getting to kind of see him up close for the first time makes him special? Because a lot of people have preconceived notions about Rahm, people who've been watching him since he was 18 years old and saying, oh, soft tossing lefty, not a big prospect. But for someone who comes in to see him this year, kind of what have you taken away from Drew Rahm's 5 starts?
I mean, I a lot of times I forget how young he is, and it that's what throws me a lot of times, is when I remind myself that this guy is still, if I'm not mistaken, he's still only 21 years old. And he was born in 99. I know my math. Yeah, so he's 22. He's 22. So still, he's only 22 years. So it's difficult at times to remember that he is so young in this organization in a just roster that's already relatively young compared to the rest of the league. I've really enjoyed his mix, and he almost laughs about just how many pitches he offers. I think he's got something along a 5-pitch mix. I've got it pulled up here, actually. In just a quick second. The 4-seamer, then a curve, a slider, a change, and he also uses a split finger from time to time. But for him, because sometimes when he's working with runners on base set points or early on against leadoff guys, he'll bring out a sidearm deliver and offer up a couple of more pitches from that sidearm slot. So he's just an interesting guy when it comes to his versatility on the mound. And you take into consideration his age and the fact that he's added on, I want to say, about 25, around 30 pounds of muscle since the start of spring training. He's really, really putting in some of the most effort for a lot of pitchers in this organization, I feel. And I don't want to discredit anyone, but he's put on so much to really try and keep himself in the conversation, because like you'd said, aside from DL Hall getting injured last season, that set him up to be the top left-handed pitching prospect watched in the entire organization last year. And he knew that was something that was happening, so he wanted to make sure that he didn't fall out of the conversation this year. And packing on that muscle is definitely a good start, and he's just got to see what he can translate that into, whether it be more movement on some of his pitches or a little more velocity, what have you. He's been really working hard and putting things together well. I'm really looking forward to what he might be putting together today as he gets ready to start against Erie, because it's going to be his first start since May 4th. So about 3 weeks at this point for him. So again, it's like I said, a little slow probably to ramp back up. So maybe won't go too far just because you take 3 weeks off. It will be a little difficult to go out and maybe try and throw six innings, but I'm still hoping for a good start and a good return for Drew Rom today.
Yeah, so we talked about a couple of starters. So last thing, Matt, I wanted to ask, just, you know, the Bowie bullpen was kind of a mess at times last year, and it's been a little more stable this year, but there's a lot of different arms. There's been different guys going on the injured list, guys pitching in different spots. Give me one reliever who you've watched come out of the bullpen for the Bay Sox this year who has impressed you.
I really liked, I could probably name a couple of guys, to be honest with you. I know Cameron Bishop is still on the injured list right now, and he's probably set to come off sometime during this series, but he's been very, very impressive. Morgan McSweeney just finished up a scoreless streak of 7 2/3 scoreless innings. That was very, very nice. Normally, I would have said Logan Gillespie, but obviously he's now up with the big league club. He was a very fun guy to just chat with whenever he was around the clubhouse. Very fun story for him playing in indie ball for so long. The household name of just funky guys that will always be difficult to work with, though, especially in the clubhouse, is Nolan Hoffman. So he has really just been starting to piece it together well for Bowie. He's given up like one run here and there in a handful of his appearances. And the fact of the matter is that just about any side armor you're going to run into, the positioning and the placement on the zone can get more wild at times, but he's definitely tightening it up a little bit, especially when he pitches to left hand. It's really starting to locate a lot better just on the inside edge while throwing them off entirely and making them think it's just going to be a routine pitch outside. It somehow finds its way on the inner half of the plate for an easy called strike. And he's been so good at tightening up the zone over the past few appearances. Right now, he's riding two consecutive scoreless innings. I believe he came in. No, he didn't come in last night. Adam Stauffer was the only pitcher last night. But he'll probably appear at some point in this series, and I look forward to him pitching well again. He's got, you know, routine strikeout to walk numbers right now at 14-5. But again, a lot of that comes down to just, you know, settling back in and tightening up with that sidearm delivery, because it can be difficult to pick up at the plate just as much as it is difficult to locate when you're coming in at such a hard angle. Like, yeah, I really like Hoffman. Really, anyone that comes in with a funky out there delivery like that, something that's just a little bit against the norm, is always fun to watch.
Yeah, he a minor league Rule 5 draft selection. Him and Cole Uvila have come in from that minor league Rule 5 draft and done some good things in this system. And, you know, it's an exciting system to be in, number one system ranked in baseball, Matt, that you got to enter to kind of be a part of this year. So before we finish up, I just wanted to give you a quick chance to kind of, you know, let Orioles fans who may not know much about you as you come in to call these Bay Sox games, kind of what your broadcast career has been, the little elevator pitch for Matt coming into this Bowie role.
So I'm from St. Louis, grew up there and went to college there, a small Division II school that didn't really have that much going for, but it had a radio station, and I was able to make the most of my time there. Since then, I've spent most of my adult life working on the East Coast. I have I've had two stints working in North Carolina, two stints working in Pennsylvania. I was working in Florida this past winter. I was a former lead for the high A affiliate of the Houston Astros. They're now the low A affiliate, the Fayetteville Woodpeckers in the Carolina League. I had a low level role with the AAA affiliate of the Philadelphia Phillies, the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs. And then last season, I was up with the Tigers affiliate in this league, the Erie Seawolves. So got to spend a lot of time watching other top prospects, Spencer Torkelson and Riley Green, just smack the ball out of there. That was a very fun season, and I'm really glad to have gotten the opportunities that I have, and really enjoying just watching some great ball this season, and what's been just an incredible farm system filled with so much impressive talent. It's just really, really enjoyable to not only watch but talk with a lot of these guys. This is one of the best just people in a clubhouse that I've worked with in my career. I really enjoy the crew here.
Yeah, Matt, we're happy to have you in this Orioles system. It's not just the players, you know, it's the coaches, and it's the broadcasters as well, which take this system to number one in baseball. But Matt, thank you so much for joining us, talking Bay Sox, and I'm sure, you know, we only went over about six or seven players today. I'm sure we'll have you back on later in the year to get through a lot of these guys who are tearing it up down in Bowie this year.
Absolutely, Connor. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
So that was Matt Sabados, the play-by-play voice of the Bowie Bay Sox, joining us here on the podcast. And this has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.